It's Here and Now. We want to take a few minutes now to remember civil rights leader Julian Bond, who died on Saturday at the age of 75. Joining us now is Shirley Franklin, who was the first African-American woman elected mayor of a major southern city, the city of Atlanta. She's with us from Georgia Public Broadcasting. Mayor Franklin, thank you for joining us. And I know you knew Julian Bond, so we're very sorry for your loss.
Well, thank you. I think Julian touched the lives of so many people. And I heard him first as a college student at Howard University. And all of us in the class were mesmerized because of his quick wit, his ability to communicate, but also because he was very accessible and really determined about civil rights, even in the early 1960s.
Well, how would you describe his role in the civil rights movement in general? We spoke with you back in January about, of course, the most famous member of that movement, Dr. Martin Luther King. But what about Julian Bond?
Well, I first learned of Julian Bond as a communicator. He was one of the people who helped to craft the messages, to do the communications with the Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee. But in doing that, he had to fully embrace the issue. So Julian, for all of his life, really all of his adult life, has been someone who has been thinking about how to connect average everyday folks with the issues around civil and human rights. So he was a convener. He looked for people who would join the movement, whether it was around LGBT rights or freedom of speech rights or fighting racial injustice.
Well, and he touched so many aspects of the civil rights movement. He helped start the Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee. He was elected to the Georgia House of Representatives. He founded the Southern Poverty Law Center. He was the head of the NAACP, really touching all these aspects of the movement.
Well, Julian did touch all the aspects of the movement, but he also, I've heard him say recently at in Austin at the LBJ School when he lectured recently, that he saw himself as a part of a team of activists and people who cared about human rights. So he looked for opportunities to work in the institutional setting, as opposed to being just the person on the outside with an opinion. He wanted to really push for change and knew that it took a team of people with varied backgrounds and varied points of view in order to do that.
What drove him? What motivated him?
I think Julian had a deep faith in the goodness of humanity. He had a deep faith that every person had rights and that it was his job to be a part of a movement to ensure that that was so.
I want to listen to something that happened at the 1968 Democratic Convention in Chicago. Julian Bond's name was placed in nomination for vice president. And here he is speaking with Dan Rather of CBS on the convention floor that night.
Well, I would hope it's because they think I'd make a good vice president. I think it's also to get an opportunity to address this body and through the medium of television, other people in the nation about some of the issues that are not being discussed here, which are poverty, racism, war. There really have not been a great deal of free discussion about them, I don't think. Now, how is this to be done?
What are your thoughts when you hear that, Shirley Franklin?
It doesn't sound like 1968. It sounds like 2015.
Hmm.
It sounds as if Julian's work and his legacy is really going to be the work that we do from this point forward.
Well, what frustrated him that wasn't able to get done? What do you think he would be working on if he were still alive?
Well, you use this word frustration. I never saw Julian express frustration. He wanted to push. I mean, he did not like the apathy. He was very concerned about the apathy that sometimes voters and we as Americans have about human rights. He felt that we didn't push hard enough and were not critical in our thinking. So I don't know that he was frustrated. He certainly saw progress over his lifetime. He contributed to that progress, but he knew that there was a lot more work to do.
You know, one of the things that I found interesting as I was reading about Julian Bond is that unlike some other members of the civil rights movement, he was born into a family where he was the son of a college president. What do you think that did to him?
Well, I think Julian was surrounded by intellectual stimulation from a very young age. His father and mother, I knew his mother very well in Atlanta. Their family was surrounded by some of the intellectual giants of the time. And so he was always encouraged to think. He's quoted as saying, the truth may hurt, but it's the truth. And he wasn't afraid to take action based on that. So I think his intellectual stimulation came at a very, very young age. And I think his faith, combined with that intellectual engagement, really carried him through his entire life. And he continued to carry that, the legacy of his family's experience.
That's Shirley Franklin, the former mayor of Atlanta, helping us remember civil rights icon Julian Bond, who died over the weekend at the age of 75. Shirley Franklin, thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
And Here and Now is a production of NPR and WBUR in association with the BBC World Service. I'm Jeremy Hobson.
I'm Robin Young. This is Here and Now.